Praise the Lord. So we'll go ahead and get it started. Straight ahead, Shan. You got about two more steps, girl. There you go. There you go. You're in. All right. We're going to open with prayer and give you the word of God. Father, we thank you for this day, the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. We don't take it lightly, Lord, that we are able to be here spiritually and physically, emotionally. Lord, thank you. We bind and rebuke all distractions, anything that is not of you, Lord. We command it to be gone in the precious name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you come, fill this place. Let your will be done. The will of the Father come forth. All hearts and minds be in tune to the word. Their hearts be enlarged that they can accept the word, that it would take root. It would grow and prosper in their lives. And they would be the men and women of God they're called to be. I surrender myself as a vessel tonight. Today, Lord Jesus, that you would speak through me. Think through me, Lord. Let everything that I have be yours. And nothing of myself remain. Let your Holy Spirit command the rest of this service, Lord. Let those that come through the door not only see you, but feel the love of God in this house. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to talk about the present of Jesus. And I meant to have a box or a present here, but I didn't get it together this morning. But the present of Jesus. And when you read the story, as we call it, I call it the Christmas story, but it's the birth of Christ. You see that many people were seeking him, but he was different to each one. He was different to each one. He's all the same, but they were all expecting different people or a different version, whatever you want to call it. But I want to remind you in Romans 6 and 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear the word present in there? He's a gift. His presence. He came. So let me get back on track because that's a whole different sermon. So let me talk about what everybody said he was or what they were expecting. So Luke 1 is the account of Mary. And we all know the story. I kind of talked about it last week. But I want to show you what God showed me this week. And it says in Luke 1, verse 29 through 33, it says, but when she saw him, talking about the angel, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. Capitalized. And shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. She was expecting a son, but not just any son, the Son of the Highest. The Son of the Highest. She understood what he was. He was coming to be a blessing. Because if you go on down in Luke 1, after she meets her cousin, who is pregnant with John, the forerunner of Jesus, she says this wonderful thing. And some people call it a song, some people call it a poem, but I just call it the word of God. It says in verse 48, for he has regarded the lowly state of his servant, maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Mary was being blessed by the Son of the Highest. She was expecting a son. What do you expect? The present of Jesus. Let's go on. Let's go on to the next one. Matthew 1, 18 through 21. We're talking about daddy now. Father, earthly father, Joseph. What was Joseph expecting? You remember the story of Joseph. Joseph was espoused to her, basically by that tradition of time. At those times, they were already married according to their law in the eyes of the people. They have not yet consummated their marriage, which could last for up to a year as he is preparing a way in a home for his wife, you know. And then the bridegroom comes and takes her out. It's a beautiful little ceremony. But Joseph, he finds out that she's with child. And like, you know, today's men, they don't like that either. Nobody would. It said that he considered putting her away privately. Let's read the story. It's 18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or secretly. But when he thought about it, these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife. He's already calling her wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. There's her word, son. And you shall call him Jesus, his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph was expecting the child of the Holy Spirit, one that would save the people from sin. Mary's expecting a son that would be a blessing. Son of the highest. What do you expect Jesus to be? What do you expect Jesus to be? Let's keep going. I've got more. Let's talk about the good old shepherds in the fields. I love it because, you know, those are my people. We weren't wealthy. We worked the farm. We lived from the land. And the shepherds had an expectation as well. Luke 2 and 15. Let's read what it says. Well, I'm going to read from 8 down, but let me read the story. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. Remember, they had to travel to Bethlehem because of the taxes, and they had to be in that particular town to do that, be accounted for. So Mary and Joseph are already there. And, you know, there's always a good story about the innkeeper that didn't have any room for them. But I wanted to bring you something different, what God has showed me. But here's the shepherds. They're out watching over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which means deliverer, who is Christ, the Anointed One. That's what that means, the Lord. And there will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly with the angel there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them in heaven that the shepherds said to one another, could you imagine the conversation? Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. the first one to bring the good news. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told. The shepherds received Jesus, Savior, Lord, revelation. Let's go see this thing that has been come to pass, that the Lord has made us to know. What are you expecting from Jesus? What present is he to you? He's all these things and so much more. All right, let's go on. Some people just want revelation. Some people just want, I just want my sins covered. I'm not going to operate in anything else, but I just need to be free of that guilt. Some want a son that they can boss around and tell what to do. It don't work that way, though, with Jesus. Let's keep going. We got a couple more characters in my Christmas story. The wise man. Do you remember the wise men? They come from afar. Come on. They're following a star. Something in the sky. Matthew 2, 1 and 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now they consider this, we put it in the Christmas story, but they think the child was a little older, but let's just keep going. I ain't got the revelation for that one. And it says, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. The wise men were looking for a king. They found a child. They found a child. They found an innocent, loving, unprejudiced child. They brought their gifts in. I don't read the whole story, but they brought their gifts in and they give the gifts to them. This is after they had talked to Herod. We'll talk about him next. But the wise men were looking for a king. I think today we would be wise to know King Jesus. Would you not? Yes. Who are you expecting? What present is Jesus to you? He's all these things and so much more. So I want to talk about some people in this world. Some of them sit in church with you. Some of them don't. And they're like number five, and that is Herod. Herod plays a part in my Christmas story. Herod was king at that time. Let's go to Matthew 2 and read some of Herod's story, his part in this. And it said, when Herod the king heard this, now he's hearing this from the wise man, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise man, because he entertained the wise man with only the idea of gathering information. One of the original spies. But anyways, he was getting all the intel he come from. And he told him, he said, you go out and you find him. And then when you do, you come back and tell me where he is. Because, I need to go worship him too. But that was not his intent. So verse 16, it says, of course, when the wise men found him in a dream, they were advised not to go back to Herod. So they went on back to their country. But this is what happened in verse 16. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise man, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise man. Herod knew Jesus was the anointed one. But Herod feared that he would be dethroned and he would be an usurper. And that's somebody who comes in and takes a position by force. A lot of us look at Jesus in that way because we don't have the right heart. He's just come in to take all my fun away. He's just come in, and I can't do this, and I can't hang out with that, and I can't behave and talk and think the way I want to. He's just come in to dethrone me. Who is Jesus to you? What part of your life does the Holy Spirit reveal to you and you think, oh, no, God, we're not going to just dethrone this from, no, you're not taking this from me. This is for me. This is the only thing that makes me feel better. This is what I want to do. Who is Jesus to you? Usurper? He's got to be everything. But some people don't look at Jesus that way. They think he's just there to take away what they want to keep. Do you put him in a box like that? Oh, yeah. Oh, today he can be my savior. Today he can be my rock, my fortress. Today he can help me out in this, and he can get me through this storm, and he can pay this bill, or he can do this, and he can have this happen. What present is he to you? We limit him when we do those things in our lives. We limit what God has for us, his will. We limit our growth and maturity in the Christian faith and our walk with Jesus. We bind the hands of Holy Spirit when we do those things. So let me tell you what Jesus is. He's all those things, except for what Herod thought. He does have a kingdom coming, but it's not come yet. Not total yet. Jesus is Son of Man. He was very proud of that word, of that title. He would call himself that many times. You'll read in the Bible. One example I found was John 8:28. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him." Son of Man. He even called himself that. That identifies him as all man and all God. Able to do what he did and forgive and wash us of our sins. What's another title that God, Jesus is? He's Son of God. Remember the blind man that was blind from birth, and when Jesus healed him, told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And remember the Pharisees or the Sadducees, one of those sad people, they came and wanted to know, and they interviewed the man, they interviewed his parents, and they were trying to find a thing. But what did Jesus say in John 9:35-36-39? Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, now Jesus goes and finds this man he'd healed. He said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those that who see may be made blind." That's a heart attitude right there. Remember when he was baptized, John baptized him? What did the Father say? And a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Son of God, Son of highest, of the highest. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am very pleased. Listen to him," that he says, God says, of his Son. The glory of the Father's one and only Son. John 1:14. He called himself, "I am." He identified with the Trinity, the Godhead, the three in one, in John 8, 57 through 58. And he was talking to that he was greater. He was talking to the Jews, and he was greater than Abraham. And they were saying, "You have a demon." And he says, then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to him, to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." That identified him with Yahweh. Jesus said, "He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to the Father." John 14 and 6, Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are not all paths to God. There is only one way, and his name is Jesus." He said he was one with the Father. John 10 and 30, I and the Father are one. He told Martha that he was the resurrection and the life. And then he walked around and proved it with Lazarus. He rose him from the dead after 3 days. Lord is another title you will hear them call him. My Lord, my God. That was Thomas's first words to him after he saw him after the resurrection. My Lord, my God. That changed an identity. Lord could be used just as a respectful title, but that changed it to my God. That identified him as part of the Trinity. My Lord. I like when Peter come out after the day of Pentecost and he's preaching to the people. In Acts 2 and 36, it says, "Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." He's supposed to be Lord of your life. That's part of the declaration for salvation. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10 and 9. Lord. He's Lord. He said, "I am the good shepherd." He called himself the shepherd in John 10. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." That he did. He is the chief cornerstone that's been prophesied of old. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 8, you'll find that. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 and 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He is seated as an advocator for you and I. Luke 22 and 69, "Hence, hereafter, the Son of Man," he called himself Son of Man there, "will sit on the right hand of the power of God." John calls him in 1 John 2 and 1, the advocator with the Father, Jesus. The Old Testament spoke about him. Psalm 62. Let me just read it. It's talking about salvation through Jesus. It says, "Truly my soul silently waits for God, for from him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be removed." He repeated it twice. "In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." Through Jesus Christ, we have the rock. We have defense. We have strength. We have refuge. We have salvation. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord." Who is Jesus to you? Is he just somebody that you come and celebrate on Sunday, sing a couple songs about, open your present? Or is it somebody that walks with you day and day through indwelling of Holy Spirit? Is it someone that you talk to, that you pray to, that you walk with, that you cry with, that you sing with, that you have your joy in? Are you like Herod and you're worried that he's just there to dethrone the things that you want to do? The present of Jesus. Don't put him in a box. Don't just say, oh, today he's this, today he's that. He is all things. He is creator. He left heaven. He lived life perfection. He suffered and died for us. He took the nails. He took the beatings. He took the scourging. He took the false accusations. There is nothing that could be done here that hasn't been done to him. And he walked it out as a lamb with a mouth closed and said nothing, so that you and I could have that peace, that strength, that joy, even in the worst times. And it didn't end there. He was hung on the cross. And even then, he had time for one that wanted to be in heaven with him. Even dying in this body. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. He forgave sins and brought someone to heaven with him on the cross. That's my Jesus. Merciful. Always. Always. Always grace. Always mercy. And then he gave up his life. He let it go. He gave it away. Because, you know, they couldn't take it. They tried. He laid it down. Amen. He did. And you know what? The wonderful thing happened when that happened. Not only did the earth shake, but the veil that was in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies from the people of God ripped from the top to the bottom. It was not a natural thing that could have happened. But it signified that God's presence was no longer stuck in the temple. It was with you and I forever and ever. That's the presence of Jesus. And then it didn't end there. They put his body in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose. So that you and I could forever be with him. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Even in his death, he brought the presence for us. He brought life. Let me ask you one more time. Who is Jesus to you? Don't limit him by just one thing. He wants to be everything to you. The free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the word begotten means basically that he was of the same. Let me read the definition. I wrote it down. Didn't know I'd need it, but it was on my heart. Begotten means of one substance with the Father. He was not created. He existed eternally with the Father. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He is life, here and for eternity. What are you going to do with the present of Jesus? It's your right and your privilege. God has children. He doesn't make slaves. The enemy does that. You have a present from God, and it's Jesus. Father, we thank you for the wonderful life that Jesus gave for us. From even the beginning of time, you knew that this would happen. And that you made a way so that we could have the relationship again, like in the garden. One-on-one, talking, dwelling together. Every day. Your blessings and your grace and your mercy is ours every day, fresh and new. And you never lie. and for eternity. Everything is true. And we have the blessings now and for eternity. And we thank you, Lord. I pray that this word would resonate with those people that hear it. And I pray that the free gift of our Lord and Savior be one that we open and enjoy every day of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.